I am laying on the floor dead, and he's just, oh, that's a good salad.
You can, you
good, very good, very good. You doing good down there?
You all right? Everything all right?
Ladies, gentlemen, and those with the good sense to do away with the whole notion, I welcome you to the premier audio medium for all your Fazbear entertainment needs. The Freddy Fazbear Pizza Podcast.
Note, FFPP is not responsible for any loss of appetite, disinterest, dismemberment, or other legally classified statuses.
So strap in and enjoy.
Hello and welcome back to the Freddy Fazbear Pizza Podcast. I am your host with the toast, Rytoast, here with a very special guest. Why don't you go and introduce yourself?
My name is David Byrne.
True.
I play FNAF games.
Well, that I heard this Mr. Baron guy does do that. So for today's topic, I kind of want to focus on that because we talk a lot about lore on this podcast, and I feel like we get lost in the weeds and forget sometimes that the lore does come from games. Games that some of them aren't very good. Some of them are. So I kind of wanted to go over kind of the highs and the lows of the FNAF games themselves. And maybe touch on some of the more niche aspects of it, like speedrunning and challenge runs. So I guess to start the floor and to get a baseline of where we're going, we'll start positive, go negative, and then come back to positive. So let's start positive.
Okay.
As far as gameplay goes, what is your favorite FNAF game?
FNAF World.
Okay. Would you care to elaborate?
No.
Fair. No. Now, I will say, I'm in agreement, because on my FNAF tier list, usually FNAF World is in S tier.
It's great. It's such a good game. I love FNAF World so much. Like, when it first came out, and people were like, oh, this is terrible. Why would anyone play this? This isn't scary at all. I'm sitting there like, damn, this is peak. And I've played through FNAF World hard mode so many times.
I remember when it first came out, I played it a bunch. I played the like original launch, which was a little rough. And then when it got re-released for free, I played that, and I played it a bunch when it came out, and then there was a big like 3 or 4 year gap where I just didn't think about the game at all. And then right around when like hype started building up for Security Breach, that was the game that I went back to play first. Kind of like what you're saying, because it's like it's just fun to play. I feel like before FNAF World, and then now that with Help Wanted 2, and I guess you could put Security Breach there as well. There, a lot of the FNAF games are like good experiences, but as far as like something that is fun to play, it's kind of hard to come by in this series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know... So, FNAF World, also, you mentioned hard mode. What kind of... Go into the... I feel like FNAF World is one of the games that has a lot of mods. And I've seen you playing the FNAF World randomizer. So, mm-hmm. like, how is the challenge run scene on FNAF World?
It is so huge. Like, I have seen people... Like, so obviously there's, like, the basic stuff that me and Spiff have done. Like,
sure.
Randomizer, 10 times difficulty, mm-hmm. you know, blah, 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 top row challenge, like I did, like, all that stuff, right? There's all mm-hmm. that. But I've seen people who do runs of only William Afton. Or only Freddy.
God. So, in a lot of these, because I know with, like, Nuzlocke, it's, the strategy is kind of just, like, know your type advantages, play for your... losses and things like that, and then there's like you can't over level. Obviously you can't really like track or control how much you're leveling in these challenges, so mm-hmm. for a lot of these, is it just like find the one or two moves that can help you get there, or is it like we need to grind an over level in a section to be able to do anything? Like what's the general strategy with a lot of these?
So from what I know from both Top Row and from Spiff's 10 times difficulty,
mm-hmm.
You just gotta get really good at hitting 1 in 2,000% chances.
Okay, cool. So you have to get good at being lucky.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's pretty much all there is to most of them, because a lot of challenges don't let you get strong enough to beat the final
Fair.
Boss. So you gotta just one-shot them.
And I assume that's with, what is the move?
Unscrew.
Unscrew, right.
Or escape key, or
any of the like the instant kills.
Yeah, or the Reapers.
Yeah.
The Reapers are what I usually go for.
Yeah, it's one of those things I wish that I could have known more about the, because I saw you play the randomizer, saw a couple of people play the randomizer, and I did like an easy mode Nuzlocke a bit ago, so I'm kind of semi-familiar with it. I would have played the randomizer myself before this podcast to add more to that conversation, but my internet had been down for 2 days straight, so I didn't get to do that. That was cool. I loved that.
Yeah, fun.
But that does look really fun. It's one of those things that I don't really, outside of Security Breach, I hadn't considered mods for FNAF games. It's not something that really comes to mind.
That's fair, yeah.
Outside of FNAF World, I guess, what other kind of positive gameplay experiences do you think there are in FNAF? Or is it just FNAF World?
Oh, no, there's definitely more. FNAF 1 is...
Okay.
If FNAF World didn't exist, FNAF 1 would always be my favorite. It is just, like, tried and true. It is the basic FNAF experience. It's what made it so popular. It's what got, like, Markiplier really popular. Like, FNAF 1 is peak FNAF.
I think I generally agree with that. It's one of those things that's kind of handshaking again, because I'm thinking back to my FNAF tier list, which is primarily, like, how much do I like the game, and is it fun to play is a big part of that. I typically, in my brain, now this was pre-Help Wanted 2, and I think Help Wanted 2 took the new throne for that. But it was typically Help Wanted, then FNAF 1, then, like, FNAF World, and then we're talking, like, I don't know, Security Breach 3, other games that are kind of fun to play. Yeah, I see what you mean on FNAF 1, because I feel like FNAF 1 was a great distillation of the formula that makes a good FNAF game, and every modification in the official series after that kind of missed, most of them, kind of missed something. Because, I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I have gone on record several times being a FNAF 2 hater. That shit sucks.
I agree. I hate FNAF 2, and for this one reason why.
Well, you hate it because Toy Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
See, I never
that
did
guy so much.
I never did Night 6. I never did. I did Night 6. I never did like 1020 or anything like that. I tend to, my cap out is usually unlocking Custom Night, and then I'm like, cool, I beat FNAF. I'm not worrying about 20 mode.
That's fair.
And so I never had that much of an issue with him. My biggest issue was just like, I believe it wholeheartedly. I think the Phaser Blast version of FNAF 2 in Help Wanted 2 is a more competent FNAF game than FNAF 2 is. Because you have to do multiple different things for multiple different animatronics instead of just, I'm going to wind bar and put on mask. Like,
Yeah, no. When it comes down to it, FNAF 2 is actually a very simple game.
Yeah. I always hear like, oh, well, all FNAF games are simple. It's like, well, there's different reactions to different animatronics in the other games. Mm-hmm. And then FNAF 2, everybody but two, you just put your mask on.
Yep.
Be like if Ultimate Custom Night came out and the top half of the roster was mask and the bottom half was wine bar.
Yeah, pretty much. Speaking of Ultimate Custom Night, though, I do find it very funny with the mechanics of it, is how, especially in max mode, like, it looks so overwhelming going into it. Like, oh, I gotta remember all these things, and then half of them just don't apply for the entire night.
Yeah, I've seen that, because, like, I haven't... Ultimate Custom Night and FNAF 6 are probably my least played games, and it's just, I can't... FNAF 6, I don't understand the mechanics, too. I just don't get it, and I die on night 3 every time, and I can't get past it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ultimate Custom Night, I like meaningful progression. So the sandbox nature of it doesn't really, like, it doesn't connect with me, so I just haven't really played a lot of Ultimate Custom Night. That, and I like a good jump scare. And Ultimate Custom Night doesn't have those.
Hey, it has one.
What's the one good jump scare in Ultimate Custom Night?
Nightmare Mangle.
I'm going to look this up right now, because I'll be real, I don't remember it. In my memory, when I thought of Nightmare Mangle, I thought of the Molten Freddy one where it's his face spinning.
I love that one.
What are you fucking talking about? It's still a... you come at me like, no, trust me, I've played the games, I know, there's one good one, and it's just another shaking PNG. What are you fucking talking about? Every jump scare in Ultimate Custom Night is, yo, check out this sick PNG I have. I'm gonna shake it in front of you.
I love it so much.
God. It's like the, pour one out for FNAF AR, and as weird as the gameplay in that game was, I will always credit FNAF AR actually having really damn good jump scares.
I've never even seen a FNAF AR jump scare.
The FNAF AR jump scares are, like, shockingly kind of good. Like, the Springtrap one, literally, the animatronic mouth opens to have the skull reveal as the jump scare.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, and, like, you see the gore in the mouth. Like, it's actually, like, very well done jump scare-wise. The biggest problem with FNAF AR is, like, the gameplay isn't necessarily bad. But to play it, you need to, like, spin in circles repeatedly. And a FNAF AR is a game that wants to be played in public. It wants you to, like, go to places, find things, encounter them, play it. If I'm in the park holding my phone as if I'm recording and I'm just spinning in a circle, the cops are going to be called.
Yeah, I'm about to say, like, no one in their right mind is going out playing that public.
Like, Pokemon Go is easy. I open it, turn off AR, and I just swipe from, like, a normal positioning, and I don't have to move my body in any way. Mm-hmm. That I think that's the biggest weakness of FNAF AR, is you can't play it in public, which is where it wants to be played.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of Ultimate Custom Night FNAF 6, and, like, that kind of later era of stuff, I guess they're different enough. FNAF 6, obviously, and I'm just going to say this as a fact, whether or not it's true, everyone loves the Tycoon of FNAF 6.
Oh, of course.
What are your thoughts on the night modes? Like, the actual gameplay?
Okay.
Because I don't understand them at all.
I don't think anyone does. I don't think anyone does. Because there is... I've watched videos on the entire thing, trying to understand how it works. And, trying to beat it, like, okay, I don't know how Spiff does it and how he plays it every marathon, because that game annoys me so much, because the characters just teleport.
Right? Like, that's, I'm like, they give you a radar and a map, so you'd think it would be useful, and then they just don't, they don't move on the map. They just go six rooms to the left.
Like, the way to beat it is just putting the audio lore in one place the whole night, getting the task done as quick as possible while staring at the other one.
Yeah,
and
like,
you just hope and pray it works.
I've always tried to play it with, like, some semblance of strategy. And I think the worst part about it is doing it that way means you're going to take way longer than a normal FNAF night. And then you'll be, like, 30 minutes into night 3 and die, and all of it was for nothing.
Yep.
Like, I understand the concept of, like, and I like the idea of a FNAF game where your actions determine how long the night goes. I like that idea. Playtime with Percy, great example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Done very well. Love that game. FNAF 6 does it, but it's in such an extreme manner that there is no punishment to waiting it out. So you just end up waiting out a lot of things and you have, like, 40-minute long nights.
Mm-hmm.
I've yet to beat FNAF 6. I've never beaten it. At least I've never beaten it with all of the animatronics. Like, I've gotten to the end of the game, but only in runs where I'll get, like, one or two of them.
Yeah. I've beaten it myself a few times because I just kind of sit down for, like, 3 hours, like, okay, I'm beating this. And eventually it happens, but there's just no semblance of actual strategy. It's just kind of a hope and pray scenario.
God. Okay. Well, I guess I'll have to... I've been meaning to do a learning to love FNAF 6 stream, and I guess that's good to know when I get in. Fuck a strategy, just pray.
Like, there's some things you can do to alter, like, you can put your sound or places in certain spots based on what you see, but it generally always ends up with sound, like, sound thing on one side, stare at the other, listen for the little tick sound, switch task back to the side.
Yeah, and that sounds super fun.
I know, right? It's so fun!
God. And then Ultimate Custom Night. I think Ultimate Custom Night suffers from, like, the MMO curse when you boot up a new game and they show you a whole keyboard and no tutorial. Just, here's what all the buttons do. Go. That's crazy. And every time I say this, people say just do the challenges. And I feel like that misses the point of this complaint.
Yeah, the challenges are like, they're good. They're good challenges, and they help you kind of get a feel for it before you attempt max mode. But the challenges, just generally, I feel like the game, okay, this is weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am better at max modes than I am at, like, scattered challenges.
I get what you mean, though, because it's the idea of, like, you have a muscle memory for max mode at this point. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, when you do a scattered challenge, now you have to remember specifically what you have to worry about, not just worry about everything.
Yeah.
No, because, I get like, that. That makes sense.
I've tried. Like, I haven't beaten max mode yet on UCN. I've gotten, like, 49, 50 thing. I just can't beat Chica. That stupid chicken. That chicken halts me every time. But
what is Chica's mechanic? Is it just regular Chica, FNAF on Chica?
Chica will, she will be in the kitchen, and you need to change the music whenever she stops banging her pots around, or she'll come kill you, right?
Oh.
Problem is, she's not the one that gets me killed. I'm so worried about her that I get killed by other characters.
Gotcha. It's having to devote any mental space to that takes you away from something else. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. That chicken just stresses me out so much.
Yeah, I've only ever dabbled in Ultimate Custom Night for, like, when it first came out, obviously. But then as far as, like, on-stream goes, I think I played, like, a max of an hour and a half or 2 hours. I'm like, man, this isn't fun. And then we stopped playing it.
Yeah, Ultimate Custom Night is definitely not what I go back to, for sure. Because, like, it's fun. It's fine, I guess. Like, it's a good time. But, you know, getting 50-20 is a huge accomplishment. Like, I don't really care if getting 50-20 because it's, like, what, like, 5 years old now? But,
yeah. Maybe the VR version. Like, maybe the VR version would make it more fun, because at least then it's like a good looking game at all, you know.
I mean, yeah, I guess so. The VR version didn't even bother Tim, because I hate streaming VR, so I don't even want to bother with it.
Streaming VR is a hassle. No, I'm well.
Especially for me, for some reason, because my thing never works. I'm sure you've seen the start of my Help Wanted 2 video.
Oh yeah, no, I mean my first Help Wanted 2 stream. Well, granted, it was the whole like certain headsets you have to do workarounds for. But I think the first 45 minutes of my Help Wanted 2 stream is me, like, kneeling at my desk trying to figure this out.
Yeah, same. I had to Home Depot my game together. And then, I had to borrow pieces from Help Wanted 1 and replace them in Help Wanted 2 to get it to work. God,
that's really funny. I ended up just, like, I found, like, a Steam... Because then they were like, oh, use this controller format, and that doesn't work. So I found, like, a Steam, like, workshop guide that was like, hey, I found one that works. Use this. I was like, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because, like, yeah, I've got an old headset, but I also have the most common PC brand of headset, you know? So you'd think it'd be supported. Vive, right? I've got the HTC Vive.
Yeah, I used to have a Vive. I went to a Quest because the Vive is just such a nightmare to keep set up.
Oh, yeah, the wires are a lot. And also, like, it's the first HTC Vive, so the visual quality, like, once you're in there for, like, 10, 30, 40 minutes, it fades away and you're there. But those first, like, half hour is like, man, there's a lot of pixels in my face right now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But I will say, as far as Help Wanted 2 goes, the gameplay of Help Wanted 2, I would say the most fun in the franchise for me. Because I just like mini games. I'm a big mini game guy.
Mm-hmm. I love little mini games too, yeah. Help Wanted 2, I think I've had so much trouble with it, and that really knocks it down for me. And it's not the game's fault, it's just my situation.
That's fair. And I mean, VR is so hard to, like, get right and get accessible as well.
It really is, yeah. And just, like, Help Wanted 2 is just... has so many bugs with headsets. Not even the game. The game itself, yeah. I honestly, works fine. It's just the headset functionality is really bad, especially on the Quest 2. The Quest 2 gets it the worst.
I can imagine. Yeah, I know. They kind of, like, they optimized it, obviously, for the PSVR 2, obviously. And then, like, one other PC headset. And then every other headset, they're like, yeah, probably works, and launched.
It might work.
I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, not very good marketing strategy on their part. No. But, yeah, it made it very hard to play Help Wanted 2. I still haven't beaten it because of that, because, like, when I launch it, if I have anything else running, even a browser, it's unplayable.
That's crazy. Yeah, like, no,
it's just bad.
Luckily, with the only issue with the 5 was the controls. As far as, like, running it went, like, there wasn't any, like, issues on that end, so that was nice. Because that was a big, like, I think the moment I appreciated it the most, I tried the mod, the UE VR injector with Security Breach to play Security Breach in VR, and it works. But it's laggy.
I tried that too. It does not work very well for me at all.
I'm good with VR and not getting nauseous. The lag that's in there, it's not like drastic unplayable, but it's the kind of lag that when you're in VR, you get nauseous quick. I think I got like 30 minutes into Ruin and I was like, okay, I'm going to throw up. Let's switch. I was like, maybe we stop VR. And someone was like, try Help Wanted 2. I was like, okay, we'll try Help Wanted 2. And the switch from like modding a non-VR game into VR and playing a VR game was night and day. Yep. It was, yep. It was weird because it made it feel like I was just in a real room now because it just drastically different.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I think like, it's weird. Everyone says, I keep hearing, like, what's the better FNAF VR game? Because I have played a lot of them.
Well, I can say, from my own experience, the best FNAF VR game is not a FNAF game.
Oh, which one?
Polar Dread.
I still have yet to play Polar Dread.
Polar Dread is the best horror VR game I've ever played because it is designed as a FNAF game. That, like, has all the functions, like, oh, hit the button, sure. Check the camera, but it's designed entirely around VR. It's not trying to adapt anything. It's not trying to be something else. It uses all of VR's functionalities to work. You have to crouch in real life. You have to spin 360 around. You have to throw things, which I hate. I hate throwing things in VR.
Throwing in VR is so rough. It's so rough.
But the game uses it. And it is an absolute workout. By the time I was done playing, because I played it during my like fan game week, right?
Yeah.
And I had spiff on for the entire thing. And this man was eating a salad while I was huffing and puffing after like 2 hours of calisthenics and heavy workout.
I'm putting that on my list. That sounds really fun. Yeah, because I agree. Like a lot of the problems with
I'm VR still upset about that. I am laying on the floor dead, and he's just that was a good salad.
Very good.
You don't go down there?
You all right? Everything all right?
And I'm dying! I'm dying! After night five, I collapsed, and I was on the ground for like 5 minutes.
That's really funny. Now I'm worried. I mean, I'm still going to play it, but now I'm a little worried.
It's very fun. It's very, very fun.
Because I agree, a lot of the issue, like that was with Help Wanted 1, one of the bigger issues was it was like, okay, it's FNAF in VR, but the only difference is like, okay, now I just have to hit the buttons in real life and not click them. Because I've been saying to people, like, as far as like FNAF, official FNAF VR, FNAF or Help Wanted 1 is scarier. Help Wanted 2 is more fun. Like that. Yeah. That's just the answer. Because like Help Wanted 2, frankly, outside of the sister location levels, I would not say is a scary game. And, like, the sister location levels approach being scary at certain points.
I would even say the sister location levels, like, all of them. Like, I think the moon carousel is actually very freaky.
Moon carousel is pretty... I think the thing that makes it not a scare for me, I guess at first it was, the moment I realized completing one of the pages resets him, it's just not scary anymore. Because it's, true. I'm going to do this really fast, and now I just don't have to not look for him. And we're good now.
My big strategy that I do... is when I'm working on it, like, I'll be doing it with one hand, I'll just hold the light out in one direction, wait for the sound cue, and then just follow the track behind me as I keep working on it.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
You gotta know the speed of it, though, because if you're going too fast, you know, or too slow, you're gonna miss them, right? So yeah. Once you gotta have a feeling for the speed, wait for the sound cue, and just...
I just try to go as fast as possible and hope I beat him to it.
That's fair, yeah.
And that and the goddamn Ballora's Gallery is the other level that I just... God, I just go fast and pray. I don't understand how to survive in that one.
Ballora's Gallery is so fun. I love that one so much.
I just like the added that you can yeet the children in any level they appear in.
It's fantastic.
But yeah, like, besides those, it's like, there's got a couple scary moments, but I wouldn't say Help Wanted 2 is a scary game. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, Help Wanted 1, I would say, like, once the novelty wears off, the Darkrooms levels are still pretty, like, genuinely creepy. Especially to this day, Funtime Foxy's level in Help Wanted 1 does genuinely upset me every time I play it.
It makes no sense to me. That's why I hate the sister location so much.
Yeah.
Funtime Foxy's level in both Help Wanted and sister location does not compute with me.
See, I do the I do still do the GT Live music countdown of just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Flash tooth, it works, but like it's still it. Like I don't like turning on the lights and seeing Funtime Foxy right here.
Mm-hmm.
That and fun with Nightmare Balloon Boy, because Nightmare Balloon Boy, I hold true. I think is the scariest animatronic. He's a little freak that belongs in hell. but having to be face to face with him in a dark hallway, I'll be super honest. Every time I play that level, my eyes are closed the whole time, and I just go off sound cues.
I mean, yeah, if you're playing it efficiently, your eyes might as well be closed anyways, so.
And it doesn't make me play any worse, but it makes me not pee myself. So that's the gamer's difference.
I love the plush strap Nightmare Balloon Boy stuff. I love those so much. Those are so fun.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, FNAF 4. FNAF 4 is probably, like, again, excluding FNAF 4, we're talking about like the base FNAF games, right? No spinoffs.
Yeah.
FNAF 4 is the second best in the series for me, by far.
For the longest time, I didn't like FNAF 4. And I think it's just because I played it at launch and got a bad taste in my mouth with like all the like music problems, like the sound level problems from launch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was bad.
But like, I replayed it within the past year. And once I got into the groove of it, the gameplay loop is very fun. The idea of, like, how long can you keep Foxy out? How are you willing to risk it? I still wasn't very good. Like, I don't think I actually beat Night 5.
FNAF 4, once you get the pattern down and you understand how quick they move, is probably the easiest FNAF game. Because it's very predictable. And the part is that a lot of people don't understand, right? Is one, if you ever lose that pattern and one of them waits too long or goes too fast, this is the only FNAF game you can pretty much remote control the animatronics.
Oh, really?
Because by closing the door, Scott programmed it to punish you for being too careful and too cautious, right? Mm-hmm. By closing the door too early, they will rush to your door, right?
Okay.
So if you are losing the pattern, you're like, I don't know where Bonnie is, right? Instead of flashing the light and risking it, you can close the door, open it again, and then close it, and you'll get rid of them.
Interesting.
You can just remote control them. So I did not know that. It's really easy. Up until Nightmare.
Fair.
Nightmare is the whole thing.
Nightmare is a whole... That's I love looking at guides for FNAF games, because usually it'll be like, all right, here's the four animatronics, good luck. And then FNAF 4 is like, okay, here's the four animatronics. Now here's Nightmare. Now here's Nightmare Fredbear. Now here's the Halloween up. Like, each one is, like, a little different.
Yep. But yeah, no. Like, it's really funny how easy FNAF 4 can be to be once you start, like, exploiting that.
Yeah, I did not know about that. I think I still, even without knowing about that, I was able to make it to Night 5, I believe. So, like,
oh, yeah.
Like I agree with you. Once you get into, like, the motion of it, it's not that hard. I think a lot of the difficulty comes from the scare factor of not wanting to check down a hallway or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think, yeah, FNAF 4, for the longest time, I was like, man, I hate this fucking game. I don't understand it. I have to crank up the volume and then get deafened every time I lose. It sucks.
It did suck at launch a lot.
The gameplay footage I used that I got from YouTube of, I think I used Night 3 because I wanted just like the animatronics, but like a lot of them. It didn't say it in the title, and I jump scared myself one day. He dies halfway through the video and it restarts, and then the other half is the successful run. So I'm like getting footage one day and I just get jump scared. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. FNAF 4 is it's a game for sure. You know what shouldn't be a game though?
Hmm.
Sister Location.
Agree. I hadn't even played the Custom Night until after the Oh Yeah video. And I was like, okay, I'll give this a shot. And I played the Custom Night. It's alright. It's fine. I've never been a huge fan of Custom Nights. Like, for the reason I mentioned before, like, I like meaningful progression within a game.
Yeah.
But as far as the game Sister Location goes, oh man, is it 2 hours of waiting and then one really hard 20-minute section and then in another hour of waiting.
Did you watch, during the speedrun charity event, did you watch the Sister Location runs?
I don't think I watched the whole thing, but I do remember watching the beginning.
it was so funny because it was Johnny Blocks and FNAF, right?
Yeah.
And they're going at it. But unlike in Security Breach, when people are like always making moves to get ahead of each other, it was what's the best way to put it? Whoever made like a got a bit better luck and a slightly better call was in the lead for the next hour.
Yeah, it's because there's only like four opportunities to save time in that fucking game.
I was ready to remove it until FNAF said they want to run it. I'm like, oh god, we actually have to watch this.
Okay. It's see, you get the comedic factor of all right, all these actually like fun to speedrun games. Now let's all sit down and watch a visual novel.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, just the comparison between that and FNAF 6 is amazing. Because FNAF 6, as random as it is actually a pretty good speedrun. Because
FNAF 6 was, intense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember watching that one and, like, the whole lump arc and everything like that. Like, that was intense.
Yep, lump percent. That was all great. But FNAF 5, everyone's just kind of like, okay. Oh, they're making some more risky plays here. Oh, they're dead. Okay, we're doing this again.
Right.
Only way to pull ahead was just by doing risky stuff that you normally would never do.
Yeah, like the fuse minigame and the just okay, I can win this guaranteed and take 5 minutes, or I can try to win it in 3.
Yep.
And see what happens.
Like both Spiff and I, while we were commentating, were staring at John's in particular, because Johnny was taking it very chill, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, taking his time going through it, and he died a few times. John died way more, but the thing is with John is that he kept going for these crazy charges. He went for 100% on one charge in one go.
That's crazy.
And we're like, what are you doing? Stop!
See, that's what I was worried was going to happen with Playtime with Percy, because I knew wasn't doing Rat RNG, and he was just going to play the video game as intended. And I was like, there's a very real chance I just fall way behind if my RNG is bad. And I just got really goddamn lucky twice.
Like, we love Rat RNG. We love it.
I've yet to have that good of RNG since then. I think one of them he didn't spawn for like a minute and a half, and I was like, I don't know how I'm alive, but I'm happy that I am.
Yep, Rat and G is crazy, and Fazzy always says it's not real, even though this man coded it. But okay.
It's not real, even though I've been killed 30 seconds in and I haven't been killed 2 minutes in. Okay, buddy, whatever you say.
Yeah, definitely not real. That is, it's not a thing. Absolutely not.
But yeah, the sister location, man. I know every game has its defenders. It's wild to me how many defenders sister location has.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's shocking to me. Like, I guess they're all just, you know, visual novel fans, I guess.
Like,
you know?
Like FNAF 2, I get the defenders because, like, there's at least nostalgia there and, like, a lot of people who don't play it all the way just like play it for once, and I'm like, like if you play FNAF 2 like once or twice, you don't realize how samey everything in it is.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I can't imagine somebody played Sister Location all the way through more than once and they liked it. Like on the first playthrough, I can maybe imagine someone go, oh, that was really cool. But the moment you play it again, you realize none of that is skippable. All of that is the exact same. It fades so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Control S is a lifesaver for this location.
Yeah, Control S, and I will say, credit where credit's due, I like the cupcake minigame. I think it's fun.
Cupcake minigame.
Like the one where you have to do to unlock Ennard Knight.
Oh, yeah, that's fun, yeah.
I think it's fun enough, and, like, yeah, it's obscenely hard, but that is kind of the point.
Speaking of Ennard Knight, I think Ennard Knight is the best part of that game. People always say, oh, Custom Knight's the best part. No, I think Ennard Knight is. I think Ennard Knight is actually stressful enough that it keeps you on your toes and you feel like you're doing something.
I think Ennard Knight, aesthetically, is some of the best of the franchise, like, with the voice lines that get used. I made a whole video just about the way Ennard talks to you during Ennard Knight. I love that. As far as the gameplay goes, it's fine. I mean, it's all right. It's cool.
Yep.
I really like the kind of, I guess, what's the, not mental horror. It's the
psychological horror.
Psychological horror of Ennard talking to you and like using Elizabeth's voice at you is like very cool, and I think that's something FNAF really needs to lean into.
Which is that ship has long since sailed.
Yeah, I mean they approach something similar with the Mimic, and we'll see what they do with it. Because I could see the Mimic doing something like that, but I don't know. I don't think we're gonna get an Ennard Knight again.
No, I don't think we will. What I really want to see, I want to see Steel Wool. There's one or two ways I want this to go, right?
Yeah.
Steel Wool goes back to FNAF format because it's like, oh, we want to do big open games. I don't think you should. As fun as they are, I mean, like me, like of all people, I love playing Security Breach because it's so stupid and it's so breakable, and I love it. Half of my like challenge videos are on Security Breach.
Yeah.
But I don't think they should keep doing it, because Ruin was an apology. Ruin was gamers, sorry about Security Breach. Here's something half passable. Like, and Ruin was good. Like, I'm not saying it's bad. Like, it was fun. It was good, but its existence was tainted by Security Breach.
Yeah, it's weird that like it's one of those things that like I've never encountered a DLC being so separate and better than its base game, to the point where the majority of the people who play it go, oh, that's a separate game, don't worry about it.
Yep. Like, I have talked to a few people who aren't exactly FNAF fans, and I'd be like, have you played Security Breach? They're like, no. What, have you played Ruin? I always watch someone play that's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. it's a different game. I am like... curious. It's one of those things that like they can have their cake and eat it too. It's not hard to make a FNAF styled game. I don't to this day know why they didn't have that as a separate mode. Like, you could have made Security Breach and then had on the main menu like Survival, and it's just FNAF. Like, you could have done that with those characters in that environment. And like, sure, in Security Breach, they attempted that in a 3D environment, but it wasn't great any of the times it happened.
When Security Breach first released for me, I was expecting there to be a Five Nights mode, right?
You would think. And it seems like an easy, no-brainer addition.
When I get in, I see it on my menu, like, oh, maybe you have to unlock by beating the game. Okay, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I beat the game. No post-game content at all. I'm like, what?
It couldn't have been hard, and it also would have made for good post-game content. Add a five. It could have even been like an unlockable thing where, like, and maybe this is starting to get into the realm of too much on the plate, sure. But the idea of like you boot up the game, survival mode's on the main menu, and it's Rockstar Row with the regular Glamrocks. And I'm like, man, this isn't that scary. And then as you progress the game, you unlock the ability to switch the Glamrocks to their like shattered forms and some of the like grosser parts of the Pizzaplex as your like main area with slightly different mechanics. You know, like,
yeah,
that could have been a really fun and engaging addition that I think, even with how breakable Security Breach is, people still could have gone, man, the main gameplay is kind of rough, but that side mode's really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, people like Sister Location.
Yeah, like Sister Location. People like Custom Night and they hate Sister Location. You could have the same thing.
Yeah. Like, I know people who have played Sister Location like once, not even all the way through, right? And they have like 30, 50, 40 hours on it. I'm like, I thought you hated this game. Well, like Custom Night.
Yeah. It's also weird to me that no one's made a fan game of doing that exact thing. Like, nobody has. I have not seen a fan game, Steel Wool, anyone. Just like, here is a FNAF styled game with the Security Breach roster.
I saw one. It was bad.
Okay.
That's about it.
Then I'm going to continue believing I didn't see any. I'm not going to bother
but
finding
honestly,
it.
But I think the reason why that hasn't happened is because Security Breach has such a bad stigma around it. For just how, you know, just honestly. Like, I'll be blunt about it. It's a bad game. It's bad.
That's fair, but it is ostensibly the most popular FNAF game.
It is. It is, because honestly, I think it just comes down to like the age of the fan base. Like, we've seen how Ban blew up. Like, it's bright colors with flashy like visuals and like loud noises. So of course they're gonna love it. But like, for people who actually like have cared about the game for a very long time. The demographic of people who have actually who do genuinely love Security Breach against people who don't largely favors newer, like, younger fans.
That's fair. And I mean, there's also always been that one part of FNAF in particular that makes it a bit of a stranger video game franchise, and that being how much of the fandom doesn't actually play the games. Which, like, there's nothing wrong with that inherently, but it is, like, an interesting thing about, I think, FNAF, and I've had this conversation before, it was brought up that, like, Sonic are, like, the two franchises I can think of where a huge majority of the fandom, not a huge majority, but a huge chunk of the fandom don't necessarily play the game, or, like, have played one game, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
And I, with something like Security Breach, I think that's a big part of it. Where the gameplay of it doesn't necessarily have to be good, as long as there was cool moments on YouTube that people could watch and interesting concepts.
Yeah.
And that's why I think, I think somebody brought it up on Twitter. I don't know if it was Dalko or Spiff or somebody, was like, people were talking about how, like, Help Wanted 2, the conversation around that game hasn't been to the level of Help Wanted or Security Breach. And somebody kind of brought up that it was like, well, one, it's still just VR, so there's no flat mode yet, so majority of people haven't played it. But two, Help Wanted 2 felt way more of a game that's fun to play than a game that's interesting to watch.
It is, yeah, absolutely. I've noticed that, because, like, my Help Wanted 2 video, it did fine, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, for a new release, Help Wanted 2, oh, big new sequel to everyone's favorite VR game, which I'm not a huge fan of Help Wanted 1. I think there's a lot of problems with it that people just seem to ignore because it's VR.
That's me. I ignore those flaws because I like VR games.
There was a FNAF game years ago that it was a fan game that made FNAF 1 in VR, right?
Okay.
And it was perfect. It was a perfect translation of the game. It had a really funny thing in the background. Because you know everyone's big scare initially in Help Wanted 1? They turn around, Foxy in their face. They're like, oh, yeah. It's Foxy, right?
Yeah.
That last game, I'm almost positive Steel Wool saw this and took inspiration from that. Because in that game before, Nightmare Fredbear was standing right behind you looking at you.
Jesus Christ.
So the first time I played it on my baby David Baron, right?
Yeah.
My VR headset on, I turn around. I just take it off.
No. Well, that was the first time I booted up Help Wanted. I was like, I put it on, and I had to look up to see the eyes of animatronics. I'm like, the main menu sucks. I hate this. I hate being here right now. I need to get out of here.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Well,
yeah.
I think back to John FNAF booting up Help Wanted 2 on stream. And getting, like, triple teamed by the main menu where, like, it boots up and there's three in front of him. And he's like, oh, God. And then he turns around to not look at them. And Baby is right there. He's like, ah. And then he turns back around because Baby is there. And they're closer now. And he, like, fell down. Such a good moment. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good playthrough. This is fun.
That is fantastic.
I've heard a lot of the critiques with Help Wanted 1 come down to, one, the translation of gameplay is somewhat rough, and then also, like, the models and animation at times are kind of rough as well.
I think my big problem with Help Wanted 1 mm-hmm. is I appreciate them trying to take the original games and turn them into, like, you know, into VR, because sure. It works. I've always imagined, like, man, this game would be fun in VR. Like, yeah. Damn.
That'd it's like a no-brainer, because it's one of those games where your character doesn't move that much. So it's like, okay, exactly. This can translate well.
Yeah, but then the problem comes in how they execute it mainly. Because think of FNAF 2 in sure. Help Wanted, for example, right?
Yeah.
There is so many elements of that just could have been done so much better, but they didn't do it. My biggest gripe is the hallway flashlight. Why is it a button on the desk?
Why is it a button against a desk? And I get that this would have sucked if they didn't adjust how the music box worked, but I do think it's a missed opportunity that we didn't get an actual crank at our desk.
Mm-hmm. Like the mask. Like, why is it off the side? It'd make me go, like, poof, like pull over your head or something like that. Like, that'd be fun. Like, and also the mask just looks bad. Like, it looks terrible.
So. I always use that model. A lot of the models I use in videos are from Help Wanted, and I love getting comments of like, "Why the fuck did you use this model?" Because everyone clocks it immediately. They're like, "This looks wrong."
Yep.
And I didn't.
I want to say this little fun fact about the Help Wanted models that I noticed when the movie mm-hmm. was first coming out. Right.
Yeah.
Did you notice in the movie how Chica has like a seam around the front of her face, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I don't know much about how these things are built, right?
Sure. But
if this is the case, I think it's really funny if it is. You know the Help Wanted models are like the canon look for the characters, right?
Yeah.
Like that is how they are intended to look nowadays.
Yeah.
Right? Chica's model, and actually all the original cast model, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was an error in the models, and you might have noticed it in Help Wanted. They all have a seam around their face, right?
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet that when they were making the FNAF animatronic like costumes, they mm-hmm. were using the Help Wanted 1 models as yeah. reference, and they saw that seam. It's like, that's where we need to put it.
That's really funny. That's really I believe that, honestly.
Well, and it's so funny, because if you bring the models into Blender, all you gotta do is select it all, merge vertices, confirm.
And that's really funny. Because there's also, I do like, and this was definitely more intentional, the idea that like every Foxy model we've ever had, the eye patch just kind of floats there.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the movie version, they put duct tape there, so like they could keep that vibe.
Yep.
Yep. No, I didn't even notice that. Now that you point that out, you're right. I think you're right on that.
It's really funny, and I noticed it immediately. I'm like, dude, there's no way.
And it's one of those things that, like, I really didn't notice anything wrong with the animation or models of Help Wanted 1 before Help Wanted 2. Mm-hmm. When you, like, boot up into Help Wanted 2, immediately the models are like, oh, wow, these are brand new models. And then you play, like, any game and see how fluid everything moves, and you're like, oh, or like how purposely not fluid. I will still say, I think the best animation in any FNAF game so far is Ennard walking in Help Wanted 2. That walking animation is sick.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. I don't know what my favorite one would be in any, but generally the upgrade between Help Wanted 1 and 2 is like staggering.
Yeah, it's crazy. I it's one of those things where I'm like, this, like, I know it's been, what, 4-year difference between the games, but that's an insane step up within 4 years. And maybe that's just security breach money. I don't know. But it's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely wild. I was like, wow, this is like, I was like, when I launched it, I'm like, oh, these models look way better than before.
So I'm trying to think if there's any, there's only, we're at about 48, 50 minutes, but there's only one FNAF game we haven't brought up yet. So I feel like we should bring it up.
Uh-oh.
FNAF 3.
Uh-oh.
What are your... I've gone on record, and I understand how hypocritical of me it is to say FNAF 2 sucks, because even though there's decent lore, the gameplay is so atrocious, I don't like the game. And then I turn around, and it's me and the bestie with FNAF 3. So
I get
that FNAF 3's gameplay is kind of bad, but, like, I love FNAF 3, because I think... the way you access lore in that game is the most fulfilling and, like, logical way in any FNAF game.
Yeah. The beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop.
Yeah, the wall code. Like, sure, it's nonsensical, but it's something that, like, I give it a major credit. You technically don't have to look up anything to be able to fully get all of the lore of FNAF 3.
Yeah, that is true.
Meanwhile, like, death mini games I've never liked, because it's like, okay, I'm just going to grind here for 20 minutes, and I'll never know if I've gotten them all unless I look it up.
Yep. Yeah, FNAF 3, but more to the gameplay side, that's
yeah.
what I know, right? Is, I think FNAF 3's gameplay is, Scott was trying to make a game that was more like, it leaned more into the paranormal than the others.
Yeah.
Because clearly at this point, people are like, oh, it's a ghost story, right?
Yeah.
Which it is. And Scott was like, oh, okay, paranormal. Okay, that's where people are going. Okay, yeah, let's do it. Let's work with that, right? Because I firmly believe Scott had no idea what he was doing until like the third game.
I don't think he settled. Together. I don't think he fully settled on a like story until FNAF 4, and I don't think he settled on a cohesive story, like, moving forward until Sister Location. I think Sister Location onward, he had a decent idea of what the story was.
Yeah, but, like, so FNAF 3 is like, oh, people like ghosts. Okay, I'll add ghosts. And instead opted to remove all the characters besides Springtrap and make them all ghosts. And I think it's fun, for sure, but I find the Phantom just to be really annoying.
Yeah.
And not, like, annoying as in, oh, like, oh, they scared me. It's kind of like, I don't even jump from their jump scares anymore. It's kind of like, oh, hi.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, FNAF 3, as, like, good as the aesthetics, and I do think Springtrap is one of the better, designs in the franchise.
Yeah.
It's a shame that FNAF 3, in general, has probably some of the weakest jump scares in the franchise as well.
Yeah.
Like, did not utilize Springtrap well. All the ghosts just do, like, Sonic.exe tier flashbangs on you. Like,
my favorite.
It's not great. Oh, God.
Foxy just trips and falls at you.
Foxy does just fall on you. It's also, both in FNAF 3 and Help Wanted 1 FNAF 3, the gameplay style means, if you're playing the game correctly, you're not going to encounter the ghosts. Like, if you're playing the game well, you will be on one camera and you'll just reset ventilation every now and then. Yep. And that's it. So, like, you don't encounter them. And then, once you fuck something up and you encounter one, they just steamroll into getting flashbanged 10 times in a row. So it's just so much. Like, playing it in Help Wanted made me, like, nauseous at times, because you just get, like, strapped to your face, flashbanged 10 times in a row.
Yep. Pop quiz. What's the best camera to idle on?
I've disagreed with people on this in the past. I firmly believe, I don't know the number, I cannot tell you the number, I firmly believe it's the fire exit. And I understand people say it's, I think, 9, the one to the left of that. I am fully in the top right corner fire, like the very top right corner. And you just lock that vent that it connects to, and you keep him there. I think that is the best strategy, personally.
What I usually do, and what, because I played Nightmare Aggressive, right?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Cam 2B? Is it 2B? I think it's 2 or 2B. I think it might be 02. Okay. Cam 2 is the best one. Because that is the one. Like, it sounds dangerous because it's like goes like next move to your window, other next move down to your vent, right? Lock the vent, and he goes in there, goes out, right? Whatever. If he goes to your window, the second he moves from that camera, just call him back again. And he keeps just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and can never go anywhere.
Interesting. Okay, I'm pulling up the map now. So you're talking like the one directly to the right of you.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. I've never thought about putting him in that corner.
Because he also has two spots he needs to go in that camera. So he stays there the longest.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I was right. Cam 10 is where I usually keep him, the very top right, pretty much where he spawns. I try to just keep him there, lock that vent, just don't do anything else.
Yeah, the problem I have with that one is that if you have to stop for a second, you can completely lose him, and he'll just, like, rocking towards your office. But that's fair. The reason with Cam 2 works, anywhere he can go is either perfectly safe for you, or you can react to it instantly. He can't escape from you.
That's a fair point. I've never considered keeping him right there.
I'll try that out. It works very, very well. It's very effective. But yeah, that's a fun one. Yeah, no, FNAF 3, generally, I think it's such a weird addition to the franchise because it's spooky for sure. But it's just like, there's no gameplay.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, FNAF 3 feels like we're playing what should have been a boss fight. FNAF 3 feels like we should have had a normal FNAF game for the first 5 nights, and night 6, out of nowhere, is Springtrap. And I think that would have felt even better as a game. It would have just been a really cool moment, kind of like the idea of FNAF 4 almost, but like even more intense, where it's like, you have these, I don't know, you could have called them like the Burt animatronics or something, and it's like, oh, we found some shells, and you're going over like mishmash shells that you're defending yourself from, and then suddenly night 6 you get the phone call, we found a real one, and you're like, a what, these weren't real ones? Like, I think that could have been dope.
Even that, or like lean in with the Phantom thing more, instead of making Phantom just flashbang you, make them give you a heart attack, make them kill you.
Yeah, and then, like, have them actually be meaningful and not just random things that show up sometimes and you just don't look at and pray.
Yeah.
Speaking exactly. of Help Wanted 1 ruining gameplay, avoiding Phantom Foxy in Help Wanted 1 is very funny, because it's just like reaching and not looking and doing your best.
Yep, I love it so much. It's great. It is fantastic.
I'm trying to think, is there any other FNAF game gameplay you want to bring up? Because I'm trying to think if there's any other game, because we didn't bring up any of the troll games, but like, do we have to?
No.
I'm willing to die on the hill that I love Chica in Space. I think it's fun. I think it's a fun gamble.
I still have not played it.
The controls suck.
I've heard.
And three of the guns are good. Every other gun is trash.
Mm-hmm.
But you get like four random guns throughout each level, and also there's shops with different guns that you can encounter. So it's a gambling game, and I like a gambling game. That's why I'm trying out the FNAF World Randomizer. I like gambling in my games.
That's fair. Yeah, no, gambling's always fun. I think to talk about a FNAF game that is peak and it's hidden within another game, right?
Okay.
Foxy Fighters. That game is good. That was good.
I never actually played the Halloween update of FNAF World.
What?
I've never played the minigames there.
You haven't?
Nope. Not once. Played a lot of FNAF World, it was before the Halloween update. And then when I went back to revisit FNAF World, I kind of forgot about the Halloween update, because it is just a completely separate area that you're not pointed towards at all.
No, that's fair. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm going to do it for the randomizer, so I'll be playing the mini games then, if it's in the randomizer.
The randomizer, it's there. I wouldn't recommend doing it, though.
Fair.
I recommend, because you'll get the characters by just playing the game.
Just playing the game, yeah.
Yeah, they'll show up. So, I would recommend playing the game normally. Man, maybe you get it. Maybe you get them. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. We'll figure it out. Maybe it gives me a random character from doing the minigame.
Maybe.
Because, look, I'm no scared of, like, rage games. Because I know a lot of the minigames kind of veer into that, especially with, like, Chica's Magic Rainbow and stuff like that. So I'm not opposed. I just never had. All right, well, that's kind of the games and gameplay. I guess we can move on to questions, because it seems about that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of picked up some general questions to kind of go over the games or things in the series themselves. Because, like, I don't know about you. Have you read any of the FNAF books?
No.
So I'm not going to bring up a question that said, what is your favorite FNAF book? You know? So let's go a bit more broad. I think this is a great... this is a great broad question. This is from Chanel Schwartz, she, her. Thank you for your question. Also, if you want your questions on the podcast, you know, submit them via Spotify, or you can send them to freddyfazbearpizzapodcast@gmail.com. Or if I said it too fast or it's a pain to type, you can copy and paste it from the description. That's why it's there. But her question is, what is your favorite character based on aesthetic/style?
Bonnie.
Bonnie. So which Bonnie? That is very important.
FNAF 1 Bonnie?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'm going to hold you to that, because I do tend to think FNAF 1 Bonnie, one of the scarier FNAF 1 characters, but also in general kind of basic. So feel free to expand on that.
I love Bonnie, because he's scary, right? He's got some of the scariest cams ever.
Yeah, it's something about him. He's got a vibe.
Like, I love him. And he was the first one to, like, you know, scare me when I first played the first game.
Sure.
Like, he was the first one to show up my door. I got the piano sound. I'm like, oh! Oh! And ever since then, I love his jam. I love his vibe.
I don't know why. I guess it's just he's rendered very well in FNAF 1. I've never known why he is kind of the scariest FNAF 1 animatronic. But he kind of is. It's something about his render. I'll always remember the first time I checked the side room that he's just all up in the camera on.
Yep.
Like, that got me. And that's still, like, a good render, especially in the, like, I've seen GIFs where they'll have him, like, do a slight breathing animation. So, yeah, I get that. I've always been a big proponent. My guy, specifically Captain Foxy. I love how jolly that motherfucker is.
That's fair.
He's dripped out. He's got both of his minigames peak.
True.
I love both of those shooting minigames. Because Foxy, my answer used to just be FNAF 1 Foxy, because the whole humming thing, He was the one that ran, which was always kind of funny. And one of the first memes of the community that I watched a lot of were the 5 minutes of Foxy compilations, where they would do different like audio bits for the jump scare, because obviously his jump scare isn't scary at all.
It's so funny.
He just kind of checked. I love the cope in early FNAF where it was like, Foxy's actually a good guy. He's checking on you.
Yeah.
I was like, I love like, that
hey,
cope.
Hey, you go, you good man. You doing good. Oh, you're dead.
Oh, I guess you got a heart attack. That's crazy.
That scared you so bad. Sorry, bro.
And then they came out and were like, hey, what if Foxy had drip? And I'm like, this is great. I love this guy.
Also, and I love the backing theory with the good guy one. Like, I honestly believe the Foxy the good guy one for a bit when I was younger, right?
With, I mean, Go 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 gave good backing for it.
That too, and then also the fact that, just like, if you think about the gameplay of it, right? He stops moving the more you're checking on him, right? So when he notices you're not checking him, he's like, is he good? I gotta go make sure.
My guy isn't checking the cameras. He might be dead. I need to find out.
Oh, I gotta
now.
Go. I gotta. No, I killed him. No. Oh, no.
I didn't even consider that aspect, that it's like, he stopped checking on me. Something might be wrong.
I love that entire thing so much. I still believe that's canon. I don't care what people say.
I also believe, as far as canon goes, I believe that the way Foxy ran in the movie is the way he runs in the actual universe. It's just, they have him on a high wire and just swing that motherfucker. Have you seen the behind the scenes clip of that where he just he gets to the end and just swings full force forward?
Yep.
That was a pretty easy one. We'll rapid fire these. Thank you, Chanel, for your question. I got a couple questions from Lucas. So Lucas, I answered one of his questions on like podcast episode 2. This is from like September. But he sent me an email of like seven questions and I answered one of them. And I pulled up the email again and there's other good questions I never got to here. So let's rapid fire. Hey Lucas, this one's for you, bud. Here's a bunch of questions from Lucas. Shout out. If you could remake a FNAF game, what would it be and how?
FNAF 6.
Okay.
Because I was actually going to do that.
How?
I was going to have it. Like, I had an entire thing planned out, right?
Okay.
I had an office model made, textured completely. I had a new Afton model made. I was fully
ready to
do
this.
I don't. I hate
Peanut. You don't like Jimmy
Peanut.
Neutron? Jimmy
I
Neutron William
thing.
Afton?
I hate that thing. That thing's terrible. My idea was, instead of it all being just look, listen for sounds, use the flashlight, right? Only one character reacted to the flashlight, right?
Okay.
And that was Afton. What would happen is you'd be sitting more to like the right side of the room and you'd have the vent right beside you, right? Like to your right.
Okay.
And it would be sealed. And you'd have to check that vent periodically and look for glowing white eyes staring at you in the vent and then shine the light in there to scare them off.
Okay, so kind of a la similar to kind of candies in a way.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit. And then the other characters would all have different mechanics. Like, for example, Molten Freddy wouldn't actually attack you. He would just try to shut your power off, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would try to chew through one exposed area with some wires, right?
Mm-hmm.
Baby would appear from the other side, and you'd have to run over to the other side and shut, like, a blast door seal, pretty much, on the vent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know how the entire thing is revealed to be a big setup by Henry, right?
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to make it feel like, is that it feels like an office, but, like, this feels like a saw trap. I feel like
something's wrong
here. So that's why I had the big blast door there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember correctly, the last one was Lefty, and Lefty was always in the back of your office, and you had to keep him deactivated, right?
Okay.
So instead of having to just sit there and listen, you had to be pretty much going in a triangle around the room checking everything.
Interesting. And I mean, that also makes sense lore-wise with Lefty. That Lefty would be in the office, just keep him off.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I like that concept. Funnily enough, for different reasons, my pick was also FNAF 6. Now, I didn't focus a lot, and I've never done work on something like this, but I never really focused on the gameplay because I'm not in the space enough to know like what would make compelling FNAF gameplay. But I was focusing a lot on the Tycoon aspect because I think there's a really fun concept that Tycoon brings up with liability. And it only really uses it for lawsuits. But I was wondering if there was a way to compellingly remake the Tycoon of FNAF 6 where the animatronics do have to go through the area that you're tycooning, but the more liable stuff you put in there, while it does raise the risk for lawsuits and you have to balance that out with like fun and things, also could slow down animatronics throughout the night.
I've got really good news for you.
Oh?
Have you ever played Killer in Purple 2?
No.
That game is one of my favorite FNAF fan games ever.
Okay.
And I initially played it to make fun of it because everyone's like, oh, Killer in Purple, that game's hilarious, right?
Yeah.
I played it on a game of like a stream about going insane from FNAF fan games, right?
Yeah.
And I dedicated an entire another stream to it because that game is so good. You need to play it. It's fantastic.
Okay. I think I've heard people bring this up in the past when I've talked about like I want a good FNAF tycoon that interacts with the actual FNAF gameplay.
That's
Killer so I assume 2. Killer in Purple 2 has something to do with that. All right, I'll have to put it on my list. That seems
found
really interesting.
A strategy that I see other people using and telling other people about called a plushie door, right?
Okay.
Where you put a bunch of plushies in front of the room, you make a big room and you have all your animatronic spawn points in there, right?
Okay.
And you put three plushies in a very particular pattern that perfectly blocks the door without limiting their AI so they think they can go through it, but they can't, right?
Okay.
And then you essentially make an animatronic farm room.
Let's go!
I remember calling it the, I called it like, it was some insane name. It was like the PPPPPPP.
Yeah.
Because it was like the purple guy plantation and prison penitentiary.
Yeah.
Because I just had a whole bunch of spring traps in there.
And they just couldn't do anything. That seems really interesting. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, no, I highly recommend it. It's super fun.
Yeah, but if it wasn't that, FNAF 2, but better gameplay.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
But again, I don't know how to do that. So, all right. Next one. What's your biggest gripe with the FNAF series and why? That's interesting because there's a couple I could mention, but it's like, which one is the one that like, if I could get rid of it, what would it be? Now, I think I have to do like as much as I would like to stay on theme here. I think it does have to come down to lore. And for me, I think it would just be, it's not that I want answers. I would just want a clear notion of what media is canon for the games and which isn't.
That's fair. Yeah.
I think that's probably my biggest gripe is like, I understand that Scott wants to keep everything vague and to a point I do too. But I think like, it'd be nice to at least know what information we're working with and we don't. So that would be nice.
I think my biggest gripe with the series is, I think my biggest gripe with the series is dropping the FNAF gameplay style after FNAF 5 and on.
Fair. Because I would argue FNAF 6 doesn't have it either.
FNAF 1 to 4 all had unique gameplay that resulted in the final night of you having to jump around to different things and manage things, right?
Yeah.
But FNAF 5 was just a story.
Yeah.
And FNAF 6 was just a guessing game. That's all it was. And it felt like it lost the flavor that FNAF 1 to 4 had of having to learn the mechanics over time, master them, and then utilize them all in the final battle of the last night.
Yeah.
And the game just lost that. Which is why I just don't have much of an interest in FNAF 5 or 6. I love playing FNAF 1 to 4 because I feel like I've learned something. I feel like I've mastered it, and this is like the final test. The other games don't have that.
And it's not like there's only so many ways to do that gameplay and they've run out of ideas. Look, FNAF is one of the most fan
games. Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
There's so many fan. Like, I would argue FNAF has probably the largest fan game scene of any franchise. Which is.
Yeah.
Which
is
a great argument for the idea that there are plenty of ways to do FNAF styled games. At least original FNAF styled games. So
yeah,
I do wonder. And it seems like Into the Pit isn't going to have that either. At least if they do, I don't know how, looking at the style and gameplay we saw already.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have to come down to the next Steel Wool game. Will they do it? Or, I mean, hell, there's a chance if depending on how hands off Scott is with Steel Wool, Scott could just be cooking up something in the background. But the only thing he's been cooking up is in space games, which I love, but is not what we're asking for.
Yeah. I want more of the feeling of progression in the fact that you are learning things slowly, and as you master them getting harder and harder, it gets to the final test where it jacks in difficulty.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's like we said, that's why I don't like Ultimate Custom Night that much. It's why I didn't play Sister Location Custom Night that much. I like the game to progress it for me in a way that teaches me as I go. That's really compelling gameplay.
Yeah.
No, that's a good gripe. If we've done that kind of already, talking about it, that's lore-based. All right, and then here's a good, I guess, closer and a way to kind of circle back. Who or what got you into FNAF in the first place, and how did they do it? I was an early adopter. The first I ever heard about FNAF was the Game Theory Chuck E. Cheese Theory. That was the first time I heard about the games. So I've been here since, I think that came out right before FNAF 2, I want to say. Or maybe right after FNAF 2, around FNAF 2, because it wasn't around FNAF 1. FNAF 1 came out, then like Corex Kenshin and Markiplier played it for a bit, and then there was a Game Theory on it. I didn't watch Markiplier or Corey back then. So the first I heard about it was Game Theory. And then the moment I heard about that, I was like, okay, I'm playing all these games, and I've been here ever since.
I'm trying to think what, because I got into FNAF around FNAF 2.
Yeah,
FNAF 1, I was like kind of floating around it. I'm like, this is weird.
I feel like by the time of FNAF 2 is when FNAF 1's popularity was peaking.
Damn, I'm trying to think now. Okay, the name coming to mind when I think of what was the first like FNAF content I ever watched, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny. And I'm pretty sure this is right because it feels right, right?
Yeah.
I was like on like a treadmill just doing some running, right? And I had my phone or an iPad or something, right? Because I was young. I would have been like, what? I would have been...
This
like,
is 2015? No, 2014. Because this year's
I would have been 11 then.
Yeah, because
right?
This year's the 10-year anniversary. So yeah, 2014. Yeah,
I would have been 11. And I was just doing some exercise on a treadmill, just running, right?
Sure.
Like, little 11-year-old me running. And I had like probably like my mom's iPad or something in front of me. I'm looking for a video to watch.
Not beating the iPad killer at allegations for the record.
Nope, never, never, ever. ADHD is a beast. So I'm scrolling through like, oh, what's to watch? What to watch? While I'm walking, running on the treadmill, and I'm almost positive the first FNAF content I ever watched was a Smike Top 10 video.
That's crazy.
I'm almost positive that is the first thing I watched. And I was like,
What is this? I can see that because I remember seeing that float. Because I didn't really watch Smike a lot, but I remember seeing that video floating around. So that would make a lot of sense, even if you hadn't been watching Smike or anything, just seeing that video pop up being like, what is this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really funny.
It was either that or it was a Game Theory. But I'm pretty sure it was that.
Yeah.
And I just kind of just went down the rabbit hole that lasted like 4 years.
Yeah, I think it was the Game Theory video. Then I played it once and it was fun. We put it on our like, we took my laptop and like HDMI'd it into our TV so we could like have all of our friends sit around and watch it and play it at the same time.
Yeah.
And then like the next day, my YouTube feed was full of just like Five Nights with Foxy, how to make FNAF not scary. Like all that started coming
in. I was
like,
video.
Oh yeah, we're in this. I'm here forever. I'm stuck now.
I had an opposite story because my parents hate horror, right?
Okay.
So while you were like, hook up your TV, like, oh yeah, let's all play FNAF, right?
Yeah.
I had my laptop in the corner of the room pirating the game because I wasn't allowed to buy it, right?
Yeah.
So I had all the FNAFs pirated. I had this one website that was my go-to. It was like a WordPress site, right?
Yeah.
And I was crushed when that site went down. But I was getting all the games pirated off of that, right? I'll play them in the corner, and I'll have my finger hovering over the Windows key constantly, right?
It's while literally... It's
second
that,
my parent approach, boom, off.
It's that meme that people use for FNAF 2 with that one dude in the baseball hat like opening and closing his laptop looking both ways.
Yeah.
But it's you playing FNAF 2 while doing that.
Yeah, I'm playing FNAF 2 while playing FNAF 2.
That's really good.
Why I absolutely fell in love with the series. I was like, this is like one of my favorite things ever. I was actually going through my old room while like moving out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I found some old sketchbooks of mine when I was younger. They are full of FNAF drawings. There's so many.
I was a big, my like early, like middle school, high school sketch, like video game sketch stuff. I was a big Little Big Planet kid. Mm-hmm. It's all concepts for Little Big Planet levels. Like every single one is either that or like I tried to make a Mario level. It's all that.
That's fun.
I'm trying to think. I think the time that it, because that was when I first got into it and I was into the franchise, the time that it really clicked for me, I went to like, I think it was like the kids that me and, because at this point I had been dating Amanda for like half a year to a year, I want to say, because I started dating her my freshman year of high school. So this would have been 2012 is when I went to high school. So we would have been dating for like 2 years now. And we had been babysitting this one family. And their like 8-year-old had a birthday party, and it was right after FNAF 2 came out, and it wasn't themed about FNAF or anything. But there was at one point where the parents were like, "Hey, where are like our kids?" And we're like, "All right, well, we're here anyway. We'll also babysit. It's fine." And we went to find them, and all the kids were in this 8-year-old's bedroom with a tablet with FNAF 2 booted up, like trying to get death mini games and just insta killing themselves every second they could, just like screaming. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And they showed me FNAF 2 on the tablet. And I'm like, yeah, all right. And I'm like standing there watching them play FNAF 2. I think that was like the first time I saw the mini game Foxy Go Go Go. It was like that moment.
That is so funny. Oh man.
But yeah, that, I've been, so we both been since like 2014 early adopters. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's interesting because I do think like a large portion of the current community are from Security Breach, which is interesting. I know even IDs was like, yeah, Security Breach came out, and then suddenly I was like, oh, this is cool, and I binged everything, and now I'm caught up.
Yeah. You know, I actually have a funny story with old FNAF, right?
Yeah.
Because my parents used to take me out to this, like, there was this big, like Christian play, right?
Yeah.
And I was pretty much forced to be in it. I didn't really want to, right?
Sure.
But I was like, hey, you have to be in this. We're going to be here for like 2 weeks, right? So yeah. I'm doing this thing. But I met a guy there. His name was Blake, right?
Sure.
And we were like besties for that entire time because we both just really didn't really want to be there.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely wanted to way more than I did. But like, you know, it's like we still had other interests that definitely took priority.
Yeah.
And it was around this time that FNAF 4 released, or the trailer released, right?
Sure.
And I remember we were in this one, like, house off near the play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're just kind of like, we're inside because, you know, like, it's really hot where the play. I'm not going to say where it was, but.
Sure.
You know,
no, leak the address where Blake lives.
Of course. but it was really hot. And we had to go inside to, like, spare ourselves the heat. And we were in there for hours because apparently there was, like, some big problem with the play and they couldn't do any practice that day.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there for hours and trying to entertain ourselves. And then out of nowhere, one of us is scrolling YouTube and we see Five Nights at Freddy's 4 trailer, right?
Yeah.
And the mass panic that ensued from both of us for the next hour as we're watching it, like, pausing every second, like, what's that? What's that?
Yeah.
What's that? What? What's that? Hey, what's that? What's that?
that those trailers had such a grip on the fandom.
Oh, they so did. And, like, oh, man, we were, like, freaking out over, like, the icon of Nightmare Freddy. We're like, what? Yo, that's cool!
Or, like, I still remember the teasers being, like, brightened to show 87 all over them, and then it wasn't the bite. And then it wasn't the bite of 87, which was a crazy thing to do.
You know, I've always, I don't know much about FNAF lore, right? But
yeah.
I did see one thing about it. Where someone says that that might have been the actual bite of 87, and there were two restaurants at once, right? And that's why they said in FNAF 2 that their sister location.
I think that's not a bad idea.
That's the only thing of FNAF 4 I really know about.
Only problem with it is it would mean Fredbear's was open up until 87. And the guy on the phone in FNAF 2 is like, yeah, we're trying to find the owner of the original place. It was called something like Fredbear's Family Diner, which would be a weird thing to say if it was also open.
It could have just closed.
It could have just closed. Well, it's one of those things where I just genuinely think Scott did want that to be the Bite of 87 and then forgot about everything he established about the Bite of 87. Like,
uh-oh, whoopsies, my bad.
Because, like, it's like that, and then the whole, like, oh, yeah, they used to walk around, but they don't anymore. And then you look at the Bite, and none of them are walking around. It's like,
but maybe never did walk around, and the guy was talking about the guy in the suit.
It's why I still hold strong. I fully believe Help Wanted introducing the whole indie game thing was just Scott being like, guys, level with me. I didn't know what was going on until Sister Location. If we go against a detail from like FNAF 2, just go with what we said now, please.
Why was Toy Chica missing her beak? I think she just lost it.
I think it's funny. I genuinely think that was supposed to be like a hint towards Dream Theory. And then like all of that went out the window when Sister Location came out.
Yep. Didn't Scott say something about how he retconned one thing that wasn't Dream Theory?
Yes. I think the common theory in the community that I've seen is Charlie's gender. Because we get Give Cake to the Children. And we see, like, Charlotte, Emily getting killed outside of a Freddy's or Fredbear's or something like that. And the background is saying, save him. But I think the common theory that I've seen is the one retcon that doesn't really change much and people didn't really notice is it went from save him to save her, essentially.
You know what I think the retcon is?
What's up?
That Bonnie has ninjutsu powers and can teleport around the building.
It's so stupid. You come on the podcast, you say something like that when the anime in Ultimate Custom Night very clearly shows that Freddy is the one with ninjutsu. What the fuck
exactly
are you talking about?
Exactly! But Bonnie's the one doing it!
It is so well established. Oh, okay, no, wait, you're right. I'm so sorry. Bonnie had ninjutsu, but the retcon is now Freddy is the one who has it.
Exactly, exactly. God,
I'm such an idiot. I can't believe I made a fool of myself in front of all these people. God. Really need
Bonnie had ninjutsu powers that he changed
I need
into
to
Freddy.
Think before I open my big mouth. Man. We're approaching an hour and a half. Do you have anything coming down the pipeline you wanted to shout out besides just your usual videos and streams?
No, not really right now, no.
Well, then the people should just follow you on all the socials that'll be in the
title and
description.
Subscribe.
The title should bring you to YouTube because I think just doing at David Baron YT or whatever, I think OG David Baron is your Twitter. Doing at your YouTube in a title makes it a link. The other links will be in the description. So go find those.
Go subscribe.
But yeah, this has been super fun. Once again, this has been a great podcast. And to the folks out there, thank you once again for joining us for the Freddy Fazbear Pizza Podcast, where the pizza abilities are endless. We hope to enjoy your future patronage. Bye-bye for now.